Blog Talk Radio.
New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Amen. 7 o'clock p.m. every Wednesday. So tell a friend that we have interactive Bible study every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. For those of you who are calling by internet, we have an interactive Bible study, and if you would like to participate and be a part of this discussion, you can call in. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. Again, that number is 347-237-4054. You can call in and you can participate with this interactive Bible study. Amen. We have a wonderful time and we would love to hear from you. This evening, we're going to be speaking on, actually, we're going to be going a number of different directions, but we're going from Proverbs, coming from Proverbs, and our title is I Plead Guilty. Amen. I plead guilty. We're going to have prayer, and then after we have prayer, then we're going to move on into our discussion for this evening. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to expound on your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for those who are listening in by internet, by phone. We thank you for those who wanted to listen, Heavenly Father, and who had schedules that prevented them from joining in. We ask, Heavenly Father, that we would be on one accord. We would be on one accord, Father. We ask, Lord, that each and everything that we say, Heavenly Father, would be accurate, and we lift up the name of Jesus. We are only here, Father, for just for encouragement, and to remind each other of who you are in our lives. You are God of all gods. You are King of all kings. You are our everything, and we thank you for that. Lord, Father, we ask that you would bless the sick and afflicted, Heavenly Father, those who are at home, Heavenly Father, who are having difficulty with some way or another. We send out a special blessing, Heavenly Father, to Brother Stuart Hawthorne, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask that you would bless him in a special way as he lays in the nursing home recovering from a cold. And Lord, Father, everyone else that are in that nursing home, Lord, we ask a special prayer for them. You know what their needs are, and we ask that you would attend in the name of Jesus. Father, there are those, Heavenly Father, who are struggling from cancer. Lord, there are those who are struggling from different types of illnesses, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we come against those in the name of Jesus. You have given us authority, Heavenly Father, to speak over those things because of the name of Jesus. And now, Heavenly Father, we come with the authority, Heavenly Father, disabling anything, Heavenly Father, that may be preventing anyone from moving forward in the kingdom, Heavenly Father, with difficulty. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that the bodies, Heavenly Father, will function according to how you have designed them. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for being the great designer. And now we ask, Heavenly Father, that we clear everything that is in their bodies that is not of you. We ask that in the precious name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. This evening we are coming from, actually from Proverbs, but we're going to be coming from a number of different scriptures as we move forward. We couldn't put all the scriptures online, so this evening what we're doing is we are just we're just going to put one scripture in. And and I'd also like to ask, for those of you who are listening, please make sure that you mute your whatever device you're using, that you would mute it. And when it's time, we have all the mics that are open, and we can hear everything in the background. We can hear even a sneeze in the background. So would you please mute your device while we are online? Amen. We are coming from Proverbs 28:13, and the scripture reads as such. He covered his sins. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But who confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Let me say that again. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And that is the word of the Lord coming from Proverbs. Amen. And the whole scripture is based around who we are and our human nature in conflict with the Spirit of Christ. So as we go on, God's grace revealed in the gospel of Christ is the driving force that we're going to be talking about. And we're talking about we as Christians who are peacemakers. We are peacemakers. We're not agitators. We're not evasive. We're not defensive. We are peacemakers. Amen? We are peacemakers because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This good news reveals how sinful we are. God had to give his life so that we might have life. Nothing can save us except the death of God's only Son. Amen? It reveals from the cross, it reveals the depth of God's mercy that he gave his Son to die for you and for me. And as we reflect and rejoice in the gospel of Christ, there are two things that happen. That two things that can happen to us. Number one, our pride and defensiveness are stripped away. When we go before God, our pride and our defensiveness is stripped away. We can let go of anything that we have in the back of our mind. We can let go of self-righteousness and honestly examine ourselves and find freedom from the guilt and shame and sin. How do we do that? We do that by admitting our wrongs. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying that simply because pride can get in the way. Honesty can get in the way. Self-righteousness can get in the way. Illusions can get in the way. And the only way that we can come before God is if we are honest. If we are sincere, we have a sincere heart, and when we do that, we can be reconciled of those we have offended. When I was going through this, I was thinking about all those that I may have offended in my life. How many have I said something wrong to? How many people have I treated unfairly? I mean, we could go on and on and on. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, I would like to address seven ways of confessing our sins. Seven ways of confessing our sins. And these, I'm coming from, and I have to get you the author. I don't know, it just slipped my mind as I was talking, but I'll get you the author for that. But everything is coming from this one author. And there's seven ways of confessing our sins. As God opens our eyes to see how we have sinned against others, he offers us a way to find freedom from others. Now, let me say that again. As God opens our eyes, as we're able to see the mistakes, as we're able to see the error of our ways, as we're able to see where we have sinned against others, at the same time, he offers a way to find freedom from others. How do we get freedom from others? By repenting. Many people have never repented. Never repented for their sins. Some have never realized that they have sinned. And some knew they had sinned, but never repented. They've never learned how to confess their wrongs honestly and unconditionally. How do we do that? Using words like, "I'm sorry, I hurt you." I'm sorry for past offenses on your job, with your boss. I suppose you're telling your boss, "I suppose I could have done a better job, but I guess it's not all my fault." Putting the blame on others. These statements is what they're what you call trigger statements. They're not genuine forgiveness and reconciliation. If you want to make peace with God to help you breathe grace, let me say it, breathe grace, forgiveness, and reconciliation, and you really want to make peace with God, you have to admit your wrongs. You have to admit when you are wrong. You have to recognize when you are wrong. And there are what I call the seven A's. Now, I'm going to stop, and as we go through this so we can have discussion and open it up to all of you who God has embedded a word. And that's what this is all about. We come together just to share a word with each other and those who are listening that can't get on and share. So we move on to the seven A's. Address everyone involved is number one. Address everyone involved. You may ask, what? How do you address everyone involved? Well, I'm glad you asked. Generally, you should confess your sins to every person who has directly affected you by your wrong doings. Confess your sin, that's right, to every person who has directly affected you by your wrongdoings. Now, see, we have to realize that all of our sins offend God because we are violating his will. Our sins should be first confessed to him. Then we confess to others. Psalm 35, it says, I think it's Psalms 3:5, it says, "Then I acknowledged my sins to you and did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave my guilt." confessing our sins to God, He wants to hear from each and every one of us. He wants to hear from each and every one of us because we sin daily. And that means waking up, thanking God, but not only thanking God, but then asking Him to forgive us for our sins. And then once we begin to start to develop a relationship of communication with God, then it's easier to ask for forgiveness from others. But we first go to the Father. We address everyone involved after we go to God. Whether the sin is confessed by people, it depends on whether the sin is, there's two types of sins that we can sin. There's one, there's a sin, and the other is a social sin. Sin is a hard sin, and the other one is a social sin. The heart sin takes place only in your thoughts and does not directly affect others. That means that we don't have to say anything to anyone, but it's our thoughts of our wrongs. We think it, but we don't speak it out. The heart sin. The heart sin is only in our thoughts. It doesn't affect others because they don't hear what we say, but God does. And with this type of sin, a heart sin, we're confessing not to others, but we're confessing only to God. See, because God knows our heart. He knows our heart. We can't read another person's heart. We can't, when we have wronged someone, we don't know what they're feeling in their heart, but God does. God knows what we sinned. God knows about each and every one of us. So when we have sinned, that heart sin, it's only what we're thinking. Only what we're thinking. So we can only go to God when it's a heart sin. And then there is the social sin. The social sin involves words or actions that affect other people. It can be acts of commission. These are things that we fail to do, such as slandering, stealing, lying. That's the commission side, and the acts of omission, things that we fail to do, such as failing to help someone in need or ignoring someone. Commission and the omission. The social sins should be confessed to those we have affected. The heart sin is to God. The social sin, we are confessing those we have affected. Whether it's a single person, individual person, or it's a group of people that were affected. Even those who were witnessed our actions. Even those that witnessed our actions. Let me take a minute and open up the mic. When we look at Luke 19:8, and it says, but Zacharias, stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, look, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Whatever the case, your confession should reach out as far as your offenses. That's the first A. Comments? Any comments? Anything that's resonated? Men and women of God.
I would say that as in Romans 3:23, law has sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have to introspectively examine ourselves and acknowledge that we have sinned. We are sinning. And acknowledge that and repent. And keep in mind Matthew 3:15, in which there was a price paid for our sin. And Easter just passing and the celebration of that gift that we received. But anyway, in examining ourselves, we know that we have sinned and take responsibility for that. And we treat people with the most ultimate act of love and kindness that one can do, as opposed to turning one's back and pretending I didn't see that. But just do God's will. And the things you spread the gospel is not just what you say, it's also what you do. You have to be cognitive of what you're thinking as well. What you're thinking may not necessarily cause harm to somebody, but needless to say, is it in line with what God wants you to do?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
You want to be Christ-like.
Amen. Any more comments?
Elder Clay, I just like the fact that you brought up sinning by omission and the sinning by commission. We stress that pretty often, as much as we can, because some people don't really understand when they are sinning. You know, we're so used to going about our daily lives, just doing things, and a lot of things that we do, we are actually committing sin. And like I said, we don't realize it. A lot of us don't realize it. But this is a lesson. This is a great lesson for those who don't know that, how they commit sin and when they commit sin or when we commit sin. I don't want to leave me out because I fall short also. But I also like the fact that you brought up the social sin. You know, people who we come in contact with. And let me say it on this wise, people that we socialize with. And you know, the Bible tells us not to be, not to listen to filthy music or laugh at filthy jokes and you know, just socializing with people who just don't care. And I know in some cases we can't help it because they are our coworkers or they are some of our good friends that we love very much, and sometimes they are our family members. But we still have to realize and understand those ways of committing sin and that God is not pleased with the things that we do. But I just want to bring that up because I talk about that quite a bit, and not that I'm any kind of 100% pure human being, perfect in every way. But it's just that I have to remind myself, amen, I have to remind myself that that the same thing happens even with me. But I just wanted to say that.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm glad to hear you're feeling better, you know, out of your bed, and you're better up and we have been praying for you, my brother.
Man, I tell you, I'm still trying to recover.
That's the strains out there are pretty intense. You know, they're pretty strong, and that goes for all of us. We may have to make sure that we guard, you know, this temple that God has given us.
Amen.
So, no, we thank you for that. Any more comments? Amen. Amen. We're going to move on to the second A. The second A is avoid. Avoid. If, but, and, maybe. The best way to ruin a confession is to use words that shift the blame to others. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to minimize and excuse our guilt.
Amen.
Shifting the blame to others. And when we shift it to others, we're trying to minimize or excuse our guilt. And the most common way to do this is to say that I'm sorry, that I've done something to upset you. And when we are doing that, our confession, it really determines on, do we know that we did wrong? Or is it just words that we are using? The message we're communicating is, obviously, you're upset about something, but I don't know. I didn't know that I had done anything wrong. Or you are saying, just get off my back. And we're giving a token of apology. By the way, I didn't know whether I had done anything wrong. I certainly don't know what I should do differently in the future. So clearly, it is not a confession at all when we use those words. It's considered superficial statement. And really, it's basically saying, it's saying, you're saying it to get the person to stop bothering you. So we transfer the fault by breaking a relationship, by breaking a relationship. I'm sorry if I've done something to upset you. Those words can usually be used to shift the blame, or it's a way of saying, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know I was wrong. I didn't know that I was sinning. I didn't know that I hurt your feelings. I didn't know that. And they could be just words to minimize the fault. Any comments? Minimizing faults.
I concur with you as you're saying, as far as minimizing our faults. An example might also be, I'm sorry that I engaged in the following issues that hurt you, but you shouldn't have done this. So you're really saying you're externalizing and blaming that person for your behavior. You're shifting that, and that's very common to see people do that. I'm very sorry, but you shouldn't have done that. If you had not said this or had not done that, I wouldn't have done that. But anyway, I'm sorry. But you're not really saying you're sorry. You're blaming the other person for your own action. And you look at the social aspect, of sin. And also, you know, we have to examine ourselves. You know, when you go to see a doctor, you should have an idea, you know, that, and sometimes you have to take notes. During the course of the month, I've been sneezing and coughing and I have congestion during the night, and I haven't sleep. Happens a couple times a week, but you really don't give too much thought to it. Like I said, it's a doctor, you're not doing that. But he needs to know that what to watch out for. And sometimes we'll forget, but if you keep note of what's going on with you, and the ultimate position is God. So when we come before him, we should have already examined ourselves, understand, you know, some of the issues we're having, strip ourselves of the pride that comes into play, so God can see you, see you completely anyway. So anything you say, God already knows who the deal is. You can't hide anything from him.
Amen. Amen.
Just be very careful in spreading the gospel. Even people who are different, they're going to change by virtue of in a positive or a negative manner as based on your behavior. If you're a Christian, they may say, I want no part of you. I heard you guys talking about people in a pejorative manner, a negative manner. I want nothing to do with you. You call yourself a Christian. But if you're demonstrating a sense of love and kindness and speaking positive energy, you want the will of God, positive spirit, people will be more likely to follow you because you're standing in the light of God. So we have to be very, you know, cognitive, very aware of what we do.
Amen.
We want to be Christ-like again.
Any more comments of those who are that you know that avoid by using if, but, or maybe to minimize their faults? Amen. Number three, the third A. Admit specifically. Admitting specifically is more detailed and specific when you're making a confession, rather than using the avoiding. Avoid using if, but, or maybe to minimize it. But here is saying, number three is saying, being more specific in your confession. The more specific that you are when you are confessing, the more you are you're going to receive a positive response. Specific missions helps to convince others that you are honestly facing up to what you've done. It makes it easier for them to forgive you. Being specific will help you identify the behavior you need to change. For example, instead of saying, I know that I'm not much of an employee, you might say, I know I have had a very negative attitude the last few months, which has led me to be critical of others and to disrupt the operation of this office. And when you do what you're doing, that you're identifying that you have made an error. And specifically, that you violated God's wills because you are criticizing your wrongs. You're identifying your wrongs in front of others. Mm-hmm. It's best to admit what you did that violated God's will. When we think about the prodigal son, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And that's in Luke 15:21. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. What is that saying? It's saying that I've sinned on earth, and by sinning on earth, I've sinned against you. So when we are sinning here on earth, we are violating God's will. So the specific statement demonstrates to the other person that you know your behavior was wrong when you're identifying it, when you're being more specific. And it also helps you focus biblically on principles that you need to talk to God about and ask him for help in the future. It helps you identify where you've gone wrong when we're talking to God, specifically stating, and where we need help. Admitting your wrongs. Being detailed when you are explaining or expressing your wrongs. Any comments?
Elder Clay, that is awesome to know that as you mentioned in the prodigal son, one of the first
things we can barely hear you. We can barely hear you.
Okay, let me get my. Still having trouble with my throat, but one of the things that you were talking about in the prodigal son was that the most awesome thing he done when he returned home is he let his father know that not that he sinned against him first, but he said he sinned against God. And in our confessing our sins, that is why it should begin. It should begin with, even though God already knows, but I think God wants us to know for ourselves that we have sinned against him. And he wants us to confess that every time. I mean, no matter what your sin is or however you commit a sin, we need to start and let God know that, Father, I'm not only concerned against myself or my family, right, but I've sinned against you. And,
amen.
I believe that when we say, I believe God, man, I'm telling you, I believe God will say, you know what, that's okay, I forgive you. You know,
yes,
not
sir.
That we can go out and do it again or continue in our sin, but just to let you know, son, I love you. And because you have reverenced me, and I forgive you.
Amen.
So I just, like I said, I just think it's awesome that in that prodigal son, he let him know that he sinned against God. He said, so that puts me right here. That puts me to say that he knew who was first in his life.
Amen.
I may be going off a little bit here, but he knew
he was first
in his life, and that we're gonna have to get to that same place of knowing who's first in our life. I think too many times we confess our sins, or we go to church and we confess our sins before the pastor, we confess our sins and. Before our brothers and sisters. I mean, I know the Bible says do that. But first of all, we have to go to God and confess to him our sins. And not say, Lord, you know what I did last night, or you know what I did yesterday. I'll ask you to forgive me. But you need to say, you need to call that sin out. Say what that sin is, and let God know that because I done this, because I was committed a sexual immorality or whatever because I lied, because I stole this, because I cheated, or whatever it might mm-hmm. be. You just say, God, I've done this against you. Mm-hmm. And God, will you forgive me?
Amen.
And then the rest of it rolls down here. Just saying.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Any more comments? Any more comments? Amen. Moving on to the fourth A, acknowledge the hurt. Acknowledge the hurt. If you want someone to respond positively to a confession, make it a point to acknowledge and express sorrow. Let me say that again, and express sorrow for how you have hurt or affected them. Your goal should be to show that you understand how the other person felt as a result of your words or actions. For example, you might have been terribly embarrassed when I said those things in front of everyone. I'm very sorry I did that to you. Another example. I can see why you were frustrated when I didn't deliver the parts on time. I'm sorry I failed to keep my commitment to you. Sometimes it's also helpful to ask the other person how he or she felt as a result of your behavior. And the reason that you're doing that's really a wise way of doing that, is because sometimes people are hurt and they don't express that it was a deep hurt because of your conduct. They are reluctant to tell you. So you ask them to express it. Another way to show how you're trying you're trying to understand how you affected others by describing a similar experience that you may have gone through when someone affected you. Example, I can imagine how you feel. I was falsely accused by an employer too, and it was one of the worst experiences of my life. I'm sorry I have to put you through the same thing. Now, you're not dwelling excessively on the feelings, but it's important to show that you understand how the person feels. You're expressing genuine sorrow for their hurt. Once the feelings have been acknowledged, they will see that you regret what you've done, and most people will be more than willingly to move ahead with forgiveness. My wife is very good for that. My wife is very good for that. Expressing if something's done, she expresses, you know, I'm sorry that I did this to you. I know, you know, how you must be feeling. She does that quite. So when I read that, I kind of thought about her in that respect. Comments. I hear somebody laughing out there.
That was me, Elder Clay. I was because you were. I don't know if you were reading my mind while you were speaking. I was thinking, and as you was talking about expressing your feelings and saying I'm sorry, and I understand that you know people should apologize in that fashion, but then you got to where. You mentioned forgiveness, because right along with the lines of saying I'm sorry, we should also say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Because it said that I'm sorry is a one-way street. That's only you expressing how you feel. But when you ask a person for forgiveness, it puts the weight back on their shoulder. So you can say I'm sorry. You can say I'm sorry, but do they forgive you? I mean, unless they just say, okay, I forgive you. But I just think it's better that if we say I'm sorry, will you forgive me? You know, will make it a lot easier for reconciliation than it will just saying I'm sorry. Not bashing anything you have said or anything like that, but that's why I got kind of tickled when you said forgiveness, because I was right there with you, brother. I was right there when you start talking about forgiveness, and what I was thinking is what you just said. So that's
Amen.
That's why
Praise
the little chuckle came in.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The mic's open. Any more comments?
I like that. Putting it back in the other court of the person that you're apologizing to, because now it's up to them whether they're going to receive that apology. And you already did your part. Now, if they don't, that's going to be between them and God.
I was wondering what that voice was.
That is very good. I'm enjoying this. I'm just listening tonight. It was just what God was sharing with me earlier today. You're amazing, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Affirmation.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, this is so good.
Right.
I'm just being quiet.
There. Amen.
I'm enjoying both the pastors.
You're just being a sponge tonight, huh?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Amen. Amen.
Go ahead, Elder. Finish up. Let's hear this. I want more.
The fifth A. Did we mention as far as accepting the consequences?
No, I don't think so. Uh-uh.
Accept the consequences.
All right.
When we're accepting the consequences for our actions, it's another way to demonstrate a genuine repentance. Let me say that again.
Amen. Amen.
When we
Amen.
Accept the consequences of our actions, it's another way to demonstrate genuine, let me say that, genuine repentance.
Genuine. Amen. Amen.
The prodigal son, and I think you mentioned it, the prodigal son, he demonstrated that principle. After acknowledging that he had sinned against God and his father, he decided to say, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. That comes from Luke 15:19. You have repeatedly violated employees' trust. You may need to say, or you have every right to fire me because of what I've done. We talked about that earlier. I wouldn't blame you if you did because of my genuine repentance. Or if you damage someone's property, you may need to say, it will take me some time to earn the extra money, but I will see that your property is repaired or replaced as quickly as possible.
Amen.
There's a statement that Zacharias' confession was so credible. He says, and Zacharias stood up and said, remember we talked about the Lord? Look, here and now, I give half of my portion to the poor. And if I cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back
four times the amount, accepting consequences. Comments?
Can you hear? Can you hear people today? If you stood up and said that, and in your sincerity in saying that, can you hear people saying, "You cheated me! You cheated me!" They won't say four times as much. That four times as much. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. I'm glad. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But you any know, when we sin, Adam, when we sin, I think that when we sin against our neighbor, or sin against our even sin against yourself, and especially God. Let me tell you something. Earlier in my Christian life, in my new life of being a Christian, after I rededicated my life and came back to Christ, I had gotten really, really upset. And I used a very dirty word. It's not the fact that I gave God a last name, but I used a very dirty word. And I knew it was a sin because it hit me right then. I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Now, what I'm trying to say is that when we commit a sin against God, it ought to hurt us so bad that they ought to be like I was and break down and cry. I mean, it hurt me so bad that I had sinned against God. And after all that he had done for me, and I was new at this. And it still hurt me so bad that it made me cry. And I just believe, hallelujah, I just believe that if we sin against God, it ought to hurt so bad that it make us cry. And then, if you don't fall down then and ask God for forgiveness, or your neighbor or whomever it is, there's something wrong with you.
Amen. And right back to that word that I kept emphasizing, genuine.
Genuine. Yes.
Genuine. Yes. That means it's a sincere heart. That's a sincere heart.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's a sincere heart because God, you know, we can say things verbally for the outward appearance of people and others, but God is judging the heart. And for you, Pastor, that said that your heart was broken because you felt like it was God's heart. And God looked at that and he said, "Wow, look at my son." You know, that is a choice. People don't even realize even asking for forgiveness is a choice.
Yeah.
You know, and God honored that forgiveness, that asking for forgiveness, and saw the content of your heart.
Amen. Moving on. Alter your behavior. We got six and we have seven. Seven.
Okay.
Altering your behavior. When we talk about altering your behavior, that's another sign of sincere repentance. When we change what we've been doing, by explaining to the person that you've offended them and how you plan to alter your behavior in the future, explaining to them how you're planning on changing that behavior to the person, because that's a sincere repentance. On a personal level, this is involved describing your character, your attitude, behavioral changes that you plan on making, with God's help. Remember, God is first, that we're planning on making with God's help, not with our help, but with God's help.
Amen.
And you can mention to meet a friend, church kid, or even a counselor who can offer advice and hold you accountable for those changes that you hope to make. And number seven, asking for forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness. if you follow these six above, these six steps above, many people will readily say that they forgive you. We talked about this. They forgive the person.
Uh-huh.
But they have not confessed or they do not express forgiveness. So, however, when you run into a situation like that, you may ask, please forgive me. And I think you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Please forgive me. Please forgive me. If they don't readily accept your apology, please forgive me. And this, what it does is it signals that you've done all that you can do by
all
way of confession, by way
yeah.
of confession, and that the responsibility
uh-huh.
for the next move has shifted on to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
This is also, it helps the person make an express, also express a decision that they have to give you at that time. Would you please
mm-hmm.
forgive me? They have to give you, make a decision, either yes or no. Doing that, you have to be careful. You have to be careful about how you ask that question or those questions. You have to watch out because you do not want to put a person to the point in the point where you're pressuring them to give you an answer.
Right, that's right.
Just to hear them say something. You never want to put a person in the position where they are pressured because they may not be ready to forgive you.
Yes, that's true.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Acknowledging that I deeply hurt you and I can understand why you would have such a hard time forgiving me. I hope that you will soon be able to forgive me because I want very much to be reconciled. In the meantime, I'll pray for you.
Let me ask you something.
I'll pray for you. Yes.
What happens when, because this happened to me last year, I had said something to someone that was, you know, a bit harsh, not a bit. I went right to the juggler. But I came back because I felt so bad about how I approached the matter. So I went back and I apologized to the sister. And I even texted her and then I apologized to her face to face. But she never came back and said, you know, I forgave you. But you know what? It was okay. After a while, it was okay because I just kept it moving. Because I did all I could. Now, maybe she wasn't ready right then and there, and that's what happened because she didn't even respond back, even when I questioned her face-to-face. But, you know, like I said, we moved on from there. She never came back. I mean, everything is copacetic now, but she never came back and said anything. Yeah, picture that.
Mm-hmm.
But everything is cool. So we've moved on, but still she never acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I did what I was supposed to do, what I felt in my heart was pleasing to God, and
mm-hmm.
I forgave myself as I asked for forgiveness, and
mm-hmm.
I kept it moved.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
To God be glory.
Also, you have to keep in mind, too, when you ask someone to forgive them, I'm sorry, you have to keep in mind what they have been through. When you spread the gospel, you have to keep in mind your audience. But, for example, take a person who is 30 years old and they've been physically, emotionally, sexually abused since they were 5 years old. And everybody says, I'm sorry, I did that. And now they're 35 years old, and you've done something. You said something that.
But let me interject right there. Let me interject right there, because I did what Elder John said in his in his message in the study is that I just didn't say I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry because of how I ran it down, how I approached you, how what I said was, you know, wasn't, you know, I didn't even say Christian, was out of character. You know, I just went for her because what she did wasn't correct. So I called her on it. But I'm saying about the apology. When I apologized, I gave her A, B, and C. I just didn't say, well, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry because of how I approached it. And I ran it down. You know, I let up and ran it down to her.
Yeah.
And what I was going to do, we're planting seeds. So your apology was sincere. She may not accept it for a variety of reasons, but you're planting seeds that she sees the sincerity, and that maybe the 24 people who damaged her, they weren't sincere, but she sees that planting seeds for growth, spiritual growth, that there is somebody who is genuinely sorry. So anyway, they may not come back. But needless to say, you never know what's going to come about with that person in 5 years or 10 years, whatever the case might be. There may be other people
in my church. Yeah.
Who also see. But you will never see.
Yeah. Well, she's right in my church, and like I, everything is copacetic now. You know, we're good. But I like what you said, planting the seed, and how you went even deeper. Like, you never know what happened in her past and how anything has affected her in way of apologies, you know?
Wait, let me just say, you already said that everything is okay now, right?
Yeah. Well, it appears.
She didn't exactly come out to you and say she forgive you. But if everything is okay now, somewhere, as he said earlier, he planted that seed. Somewhere you planted that seed. Somebody came and watered that seed, and it began to grow in her. And her forgiveness came about. Maybe she went to God. This is just the way I'm seeing it. She went to God and said, God, I forgive her. But, you know, and I just think that she might have should have said, well, will you make me strong enough to go to her and say, I forgive her. But forgiveness has already taken place because there's reconciliation.
Right.
You know, without forgiveness, you can't reconcile with somebody else. So.
Right. All right. That's very good. That's very good. Amen. Thank you both. Yes. Amen.
And this is what we're all about. This is what we're all about. Having a conversation and being able to just to communicate so that we can become stronger with situations that we come up against. We learn from each other. God has given us the gift, different gifts, and we are the body of the Christ. We are the body of Christ. The arms is one area, you know, the legs in another area, but they all function with the
gift. We get understanding, and I just got understanding today.
Amen.
I appreciate that.
Hallelujah. Any more comments before we close? Any more comments?
This is very good.
Ella Clay, I want you all to, I know I haven't been on in a little while. I've been trying to do some things. I need your prayers on starting a couples ministry at my church. And I've been trying to get my Bible study back together. One of the reasons I hadn't been on as regular as I was, I've been trying to get my Bible study back together at my church. But last week I was really sick. But I thank y'all for your prayers, each and every one of you all that prayed Elder Clay, I thank you for the messages you sent. That they were heartfelt, and I really, really appreciate. And I know that I've got a family out there somewhere, maybe not here in Tennessee, but I've got another family, hallelujah. I've got another Christian family out there somewhere that's praying for me. And I really, really, with sincere gratitude, I really, really appreciate it. I really do.
Amen. And this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. In closing, you know, this scripture, Mark 7:5-13, it says, so the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands? He replied, these people honor me with their lips. Their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commandments of God and are holding on to human traditions.
That's good.
You've let go of the commandments of God, and now you're holding on to human traditions.
My God.
What we're doing, we are holding on to the commandments of God because that's what's real with the body of Christ.
Yeah.
That's what's real. And we're going to be confronted. We're going to have all kind of issues that's going to be coming at us. And brothers, my sisters, men, women of God, listen. We're going to have to be girded up and be ready.
Amen.
And be ready. Encouraging each other. Can you imagine all of you are in different parts of the state? And we're still coming together for one common purpose, and that's to lift up the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
How awesome is that? How awesome is that?
Amen.
Listen, as we close, I think I heard, I'm looking here. I think that somebody here that had just has a book out. I don't know. Do you want to make a comment on it? Just created their first book, or am I out of order before we close? Okay. All right. I thought somebody was out there that had a book out that wanted to
Pastor Rose.
Share that.
I'm here.
That's the road.
I wasn't going to call no names because it might be more than one out there. Did you want to?
Blessings, Elder Clay. Thank you for this opportunity. Yes, I will plug my book. It's called God's Precious Jewels. It's out on Amazon.com. You just put that in, or you put Rose Dixon in the search bar, and my book will come out. It will come up. It's a $10. It's a parenting skill book. It's for potential parents, grandparents, godparents, anybody that does have children. It's a book that gives you the different tools and the different things that your child may go through. And it will help you deal with those things that your child go through. And so it's just like a guideline book. So check it out,
Amen.
Like and support.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing.
Yes,
We're after the hour, so we can
So we're not going to be penalized for this because we're not really being recorded for this time, you know. So I do thank you for sharing, you know, with you know the body of Christ, and we pray that your book is a blessing, you know, to others. And thank you so much for sharing. Pastor, will you want to close us out? Pastor Robinson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I will. I will. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, oh God, for such a time as this, Lord God, that you have allowed us, a few of your children, Lord God, to come together for a Bible study, for worship, for a confession, or whatever it may be, God. We just thank you so much. Now, God, I ask, Father, that as we continue through the night and through the rest of this week, Father God, I pray that all of our sins will be forgiven, Lord. God, I pray that anything we do or say against you, God, that you will forgive us, Lord. Then, God, I pray for Sister Cook's book, Father, Rose Dixon. Father God, I pray for the book, God, that she has written, God. I pray that your hand is up on that book, Father. And I pray that it will have great success, Father. I pray and I count it done, God, that she will gain from this book, Father. Father God, we pray, God, for each one on the line tonight. I don't know what they stand in the need of, but God, I pray, God, that whatever their hearts desire, Father, that you will hear their humble cry. Father, we thank you for Elder John Clay and his wife, God. We thank you for the ministry that they have. God, continue to bless it. Continue to let us learn and grow from it, Father. And I ask this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus called the Christ. And for his sake, we do give you glory, honor, and praise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. I plead guilty.
Far beyond what I have done, like a dream. come.